Good morning, everybody. Nice to see you all. Give me a wave if you can hear me. Great. Well, does anybody know what day it is today? It's Palm Sunday, isn't it? I hope you've enjoyed hanging out. People came really early today, and there's over 72 computers, so how many of you are there? I've no idea, but it's lovely to be seeing you all as you've been getting ready for church. Now, I thought while you're all getting comfortable, we would listen to a worship song this morning. Because it was Palm Sunday, and if you think back to Palm Sunday in Jerusalem, suddenly praise was rising among the people and hope was stirring because they saw somebody coming who they thought was going to get rid of the Romans. And so they were singing Hosanna, which means you're the God who saves us. We remember, don't we, that Jesus came in. And when Jesus had been to town, they'd see him heal the sick and even raise the dead. And they knew that in his kingdom, lives would be made new. And so when he came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, they wanted to welcome him. So we're going to listen to that song now. It might be new to some of you. If you know it, sing along. You'll hear the music and the words on the screen. Thank you, Gare.
Rising,
well, I hope as you joined in singing that song or just listening to it, you realize just how appropriate the words were for today, not only Palm Sunday, but in all that we face as we're church. Separated from one another in our own homes. I don't know how your week has been, but sometimes it's easy to get a bit short with one another, isn't it? We need to really just acknowledge our weakness and come before our Father in heaven and say how we're sorry. So we're going to do that now. Please join in at home. Sometimes we mess things up.
Jesus, we are so.
This week, in the busyness of life, we've forgotten or ignored you.
Jesus, we are sorry.
We have made other things more important than you.
Jesus, we are sorry.
We have thought, said, and done unkind things to others.
Jesus, we are sorry.
But you, loving Jesus, are here with arms open wide in embrace. You love us and you have forgiven us.
Jesus, we thank you.
You welcome us and restore us.
Jesus, we praise you.
Your loving grace and mercy is always enough.
Jesus, we love you. Amen.
Forgiven and holy people of God, who in Christ may stand in righteousness before your Father in heaven, by the Holy Spirit, receive assurance of faith and confirmation of the image of Christ in you, that you may have perfect freedom and peace, and hear again the song of the Father's love. Well, it's good today that we're joined by Orla, who made it back from her job in Switzerland and is now at home, and she's going to read to us from Zechariah chapter 9. Thank you, Orla.
Good morning. This is Zion's coming king. Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea, and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Because of the covenant I made with you, sealed with blood, I will free your prisoners from death and waterless dungeon. Come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners who still have hope. I promise this very day that I will repay two blessings for each of your troubles. Judah is my bow and Israel is my arrow. Jerusalem is my sword, and like a warrior, I will brandish it against the Greeks. The Lord will appear above his people. His arrows will fly like lightning. The sovereign Lord will sound the ram's horn and attack like a whirlwind from the southern desert. The Lord of heaven's armies will protect his people, and they will defeat their enemies by hurling great stones. They will shout in battle as though drunk with wine. They will be filled with blood like a bowl, drenched with blood like the corners of the altar. On that day, the Lord their God will rescue his people, just as a shepherd rescues his sheep. They will sparkle in his land like jewels in a crown.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now it's good to have Jan with us, who's going to speak to us this morning. Welcome, Jan.
Hi. Hi, everybody. It's really good to see you all this morning, even if it is only little boxes. It's been a tough week, hasn't it? I think all of us are experiencing loss in one way or another. And maybe some of us are feeling bad if we express that loss, because we're the privileged ones and we think there's lots of people worse off than us. Maybe some of us are trying to stay strong and positive, and we're absorbing a lot of anxiety and fear and sorrow for other people, and we're trying to look to Jesus and hold on to God. I know it's really tough at the moment, and I know some of us are struggling personally as well. But I invite you just to pause this morning for a moment. I invite you to imagine springtime in Israel 2,000 years ago. A springtime that in some ways was very similar to ours, a time of uncertainty and confusion. I'm going to reflect on what happened on what we now call Palm Sunday through the eyes of the Bible character Martha. And as we listen to this familiar story, let us hear again the timeless message of hope, the hope we have in Jesus. My name is Martha from Bethany. You might have heard from me. My sister is Mary and my brother Lazarus. I'm going to tell you about what's been happening around here recently. It's almost Passover, but spring doesn't feel quite right this year. In fact, to be honest, it feels strange. Something isn't right. Normally in springtime, I feel light-hearted, expectant of warmer days, lighter nights, and the children playing outside. But this year, there's a sense of foreboding. Jesus started it himself, really, when he began talking about his death. I overheard some of his friends discussing it. He kept on saying he was going to be betrayed and killed. And then he said that on the third day he would rise again. They didn't know what Jesus was talking about, really, but it's put a real dampener on Passover this year. Anyway, Jesus had been away for a while, preaching and teaching around Judea and Perea near the Jordan. I heard that when he was near Jericho on his way back, he healed a blind man, or maybe two. Some said it was Bartimaeus. We all know that old beggar. Anyway, it caused quite a stir. I was so hoping he would come back to our house in Bethany. But he walked straight through. Loads of people were following him. So Mary, Lazarus and I decided to join them to see where he was going. It's quite a steep road up the hill from Bethany to the Mount of Olives. The Romans built it, going to Jerusalem. Whew, I was beginning to wish I hadn't bothered. And then all of a sudden, Jesus stopped just outside Bethany. Some people had been following him since Jericho, so they were pleased to have a rest. We all watched and waited. He seemed to be speaking privately to two of his friends. Then, a short while later, his friends came back with a donkey and its colt. How on earth they managed to persuade someone to lend Jesus those, I don't know. Then they threw their cloaks over them and Jesus mounted the colt. Some people said he must be tired. But then others started to shout about that prophecy in the scriptures, the one in Zechariah. They recited it out loud. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem, your king is coming, triumphant and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Well, that was it. The crowd went crazy after that. Some spread their garments on the road in front of him. Others started to wave palm branches. We usually do this in October for Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. There's plenty of branches around then, and it symbolises the Messiah coming. But at this time of the year, you have to cut them down. It reminded me of the Roman athletes. They celebrate victory with a palm or a laurel branch. I don't know whether they intended it at the time, but it was just like they were welcoming home a victorious king. They did this all along the road, down into the valley, up the hill, and through the gates into Jerusalem. Oh, and the city was already packed as the pilgrims had arrived for the Passover. It was mad. The city was in uproar. All the singing, shouting, stamping of feet. It felt like an earthquake. They were shouting and singing a psalm. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. As we ran along, swept up in all of this, I wondered if it was just hysteria. Did this crowd know who Jesus was? The Jewish nationalist zealots have been looking for a liberator from Roman oppression for a while now. And the religious folk, well, they've been anticipating a Messiah, a divinely appointed king to deliver and purify Israel. Well, that's been Israel's hope for as long as I can remember. Oh, now they are acting as if Jesus is that king. Son of David, they're calling him. Well, it's true. He was born in the lineage of King David. His father is Joseph, a descendant of David. Some were shouting, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. I think they remembered when he raised my brother Lazarus from the dead. That caused a commotion. The Pharisees wanted Lazarus out of the way after that. I was pleased there were so many people around that day they could never have spotted him. Anyway, the Pharisees definitely understood there was more to this. They kept telling Jesus to shut the crowd up. But Jesus seemed to accept their praises. I heard him reply, if they kept quiet, even the stones would burst into cheers. Wow, that made me smile. Jesus always has an answer for those job worths. All in all, it was chaos, complete mayhem. But I couldn't help thinking there was some truth in all of this. Although there's so much more to comprehend. I'm going to pass back to Peter now, and we're going to hear the second bit of that story a bit later.
Thank you, Jan. And now I'm going to pass the baton on to Barbara Butler, who is here this week. Well done for getting connected, Barbara, and getting up to date with the technology. Barbara's going to lead us in our prayer this morning.
Thank you, John. That was really setting the scene, isn't it? It was lovely. So let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we come together this morning, each one of us in our own homes, physically divided, but spiritually united, and united in our desire to meet with you. Father, we are living through sad and difficult times, but everything seems to be changing. But in the midst of this, we can thank you that you never change. We rejoice in the truth that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are still our very present help in times of trouble. You are still our refuge and our strength. On this Palm Sunday, beginning of Holy Week, we remember that the love that took Jesus to the cross for our sake is just as real today. Your love is constant, faithful, and true. And so, Father, in this time of turmoil and uncertainty throughout the world, we cry out to you for help and deliverance. We ask that you would give wisdom to our government and governments of all nations, that they may make wise decisions. We pray for our Prime Minister and all members of government who are unwell at this time. We ask that they would recover quickly, be able to continue with the important work they have to do. We thank you, Father, that this situation is causing us all to look at things in a different way. And we ask that you would help us all to learn the lessons that we need to learn and emerge from this crisis with new priorities, more in keeping with your values and your truth. Father, we thank you for all who are working so hard and sacrificially to relieve the suffering caused by this virus. We pray that you will protect and provide for all medical staff, carers, volunteers, charities, food banks, and all who are working to bring help, comfort, and assurance to the sick, the poor, the lonely, and the vulnerable. We pray for families as they spend more time together, and we recognize that many will be living in cramped conditions without the benefit of a garden. And we pray for all those children and adults where home is really not a safe place to be. We pray your protection over them, and we ask that somehow, Father, by your grace and mercy, they will get the help they need. We think now of all who are fearful, for the gravely ill, the dying, and all who have lost loved ones. Oh, Father, in your mercy, may they know your comfort and your peace. Father, we are praying for all people this morning and standing in the gap for those who cannot pray themselves for whatever reason. But we know that probably everyone here this morning has someone they are particularly concerned for. So in a moment of quiet, we just bring them to you and we ask you who'd meet their particular need. God of healing, God of love, God of restoration, we commit all these loved ones into your care with heartfelt thanks that you hear us. We thank you, Father, that although our movements are restricted, nothing and no one can restrict you. And so we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will be at work in us and in the world, to bring about a spiritual revival through repentance and prayer, as more and more people, including ourselves, recognize they are not as sufficient where they were and realize their need of you. Despite being in lockdown, Father, we pray that we will still find ways to release power of your word into a needy world, be it online, in a phone call or letter, or whatever opportunity comes to hand. And so, Father, we commend ourselves and all that we pray to your mercy and protection. And as we go forward into the coming weeks and months, we take comfort in the words of Jesus to his disciples. For he said, in the world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now let us join together in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven.
Thank you, Barbara and Liz, for leading us in the Lord's Prayer. And so, I'm sure you'll have noticed, some of you, there's a little chat thing. And if you've got a prayer request, you might like to just put it there. Whether we can keep up or not, I don't know. But you might like to just put a little prayer request in a chat that others can see if you want to send it to everybody. And now, lovely to have Jan come and tell us the rest of the story. Thank you, Jan.
After all that went on in Jerusalem, that night Jesus did come back to our house in Bethany to rest. It was such a precious evening, just spending time together and reflecting on that incredible day. You remember I said they were shouting Hosanna? That means Lord, save us. My father taught me that. Jesus will save us, I'm sure. But he's not what they were expecting, the political liberator, or even the Messiah, the anointed one, the king appointed by God to deliver them. No. Just as we were near in Jerusalem, he told a parable. I didn't really take it in at the time. I've often listened to his stories while I've been in the kitchen, and I have to admit they often make no sense to me at all. I sometimes wish I'd been like Mary and sat at his feet. I might have taken it in a bit more. But anyway, Jesus was always talking about the kingdom of God. And I think this parable about 10 servants and a king who went away and then returned was to correct those who thought the kingdom of God would begin right away. In fact, I'm sure I saw him weep as he looked over towards Jerusalem. He was anticipating something that none of us could imagine. I think Jesus was trying to tell us not to expect him to be a triumphant king right now. That would come later. His reign here on earth would be marked by humility and service, not political conquest. But he will save us. He will save us from the old ways, the laws, the sacrifices. He will bring in the new. That's why the Pharisees dislike him so much. Then it suddenly made sense. Just before he raised Lazarus, he made it so clear. I am the resurrection and the life, he said. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. And anyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. I will never forget that moment he looked me straight in the eyes and said, do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, I told him. I've always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Jesus is our Saviour. He saves us from sin and from death, from eternal separation from God. He gives us hope. Not only hope for this life, but hope for the next. Hope for all eternity, of a home with God, where God will live among his people where he will wipe away every tear, where there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things will be gone forever. Now I understand why he kept saying he must be killed and 3 days later rise again. He will save us by his death. His saving grace will begin with his death. And yet his kingdom has not yet fully come. We will be saved in this life if we believe in him and allow the promise of the life to come to transform the here and now, our present reality. My sister Mary got this too. That's why she anointed Jesus' feet with perfume. That expensive perfume which our Father left us, all poured out on Jesus' feet. But Lazarus didn't stop her. And Jesus just gazed at her. He was preparing him for his burial, his death. That evening was the last time I saw Jesus before I saw him on the cross. I so wanted him to stay with us. But he left early in the morning to get back to Jerusalem. He was on a mission. His face was set like flint. So that's the story of Palm Sunday, and I hope it just gives you something to reflect upon in these coming days as we enter into Holy Week. I'll pass back to Peter.
Thank you very much, Jan. It was nice to hear the story retold in a different way and with the help of those pictures to kind of be there. And Worsley family, where are you? I wonder if, there you are, hiding in the shadows.
It's rather dark, isn't it?
Morning.
Oh, that looks better. I can see your lovely faces now. How's your week been then, Worsley family? Well, how about affirmation of faith now? Now, Millie, when the words come up, do you think you can ask us all the questions and then we'll respond?
Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist?
We believe and trust in him.
Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us and rose again?
We believe and trust in him.
Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world?
We believe and trust in him.
This is the faith of the church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you very much for leading that, Millie. Now, we're going to listen to a hymn at the moment. In our prayers and in some of our conversations, we've been talking about hope. Somebody very famous in the week said the hope was in us and in our neighbour and in our scientists. Well, we do hope that they make some breakthroughs, don't they? But as Christians, our hope is in Christ alone. That's where our hope is found. Firm through the fiercest drought and storm, through coronavirus, our hope is about a gift we have, the gift of love and righteousness, because we know that next Sunday when we celebrate Easter Day, that from the grave Jesus rose again and he stands in victory. And sin's curse, which is worse than the coronavirus, has lost its grip on me because I've been bought with the precious blood of Christ. So there's no guilt in life, no fear in death. Jesus, he commands my destiny. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. Let's listen together and sing along if you know this. Again, and now blessing as we come towards the end. Christ crucified, draw you to himself, to find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, the assurance of sins forgiven, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Jesus tells us, wherever two or three meet in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So let us stay in peace, reach out with peace, and as those with a living hope, live together in peace. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, I'd just like to welcome somebody who you might have noticed is lurking amongst us, and that's James, according to the screen. But there's Tim and Kate Lee. I wonder if you can highlight them when you can find them for us. Oh, there they are. Welcome from Kuala Lumpur. I don't know what time of day or night it is there, but it's lovely to see you.
Yeah, hi, everybody.
Hi.
Anything you'd like to share with us?
It's just been so nice joining you all today.
Yeah, it's lovely to have you with us.